It's better. Okay, next up we have Justin McLean. You can't hear me? I can hear you, and you don't have a microphone. Good, I'll try to be loud as well.
This is the voice of God.
Next up, we have Justin McLean. Oh, thank you. We have more volume. Putting your device in a browser or on the web. So Justin will get started in just a second. Let's get started. Quiet, please. Can everyone hear me up the back?
Let me just put this a bit up higher.
How's that? Can everyone hear me up the back now?
Good.
Okay, so I'm going to talk about taking Adrenos and hooking them up to your browser or putting them on the web. Just a little bit about who I am. I've been developing web applications for about 15 years, programming for 25. I'm from Sydney, Australia, as you could probably tell from my accent. I've had a keen interest in electronics, but I've never actually studied it. So, I've been programming for a long time, so I started off in the bad old days where hardware and software were sort of a bit closer together than what they are today. So I did have some initial low-level exposure, but I got out of that. And it's only in the last couple of years that I've got back into it again. And the reason why I've got back into it is it's now really simple and straightforward to do. So we'll just do a quick overview of the Adreno system. Just, can I have a show of hands? Who considers themselves a programmer here? Who actually likes watching code on slides? Yeah, it's just about everyone. Who isn't, maybe I should say? There's one. what do you describe yourself as? A novice. You've got to start somewhere. That's good. Okay, so just a quick overview of Adreno. So we saw some of the code before. The Adreno code is a C-like code. There's a couple of minor variations from the standard C, but it's close enough to C. If you're a Java programmer or an ActionScript programmer or some other language along those lines, you'll pick up Adreno very, very quickly. There's only a few simple commands that you need to understand to, you know, turn pins on and off, read analog inputs and so forth. So there's a whole lot of inbuilt functions that will read and set digital pins, so that's turn things on and off, and to read analog inputs, so that's, you know, temperature sensors, light sensors, that sort of stuff. And you can also, it doesn't have any direct analog outputs, but it has a way of simulating them. And that's good for dimming LEDs, so, you know, making a LED either brighter or dimmer. There's a whole lot of libraries that are included, and they do things like serial communication, Ethernet, controlling LED matrices, LCD displays, and that sort of thing. So here's what the IDE looks like. I think most people have got it installed. Who hasn't got it installed on their machine yet? There's only one or two. That's good. So we all know what it's looked at. The current version... Let me just start looking there. So you use the IDE to write your code, manage your sketches, which are projects basically, compile and upload to the Adreno via USB. The current version is version 17. It is still alpha, but it is very stable. Version 18 will be out in a few weeks, and they're planning to do a full 1.0 release about the middle of the year. It is... cross-platform. I don't know if that's been mentioned. It'll run on Mac, Linux, and that other operating system. So I'm just going to jump straight into it and just show you a little demo about how you would upload some software and run it on your Adreno. And Mr. Projector isn't working. All right. Let's just So I'm just going to open up a sketch here. And the sketch, basically what it's going to do is it's going to turn some lights on and off. So we have a, as Andy was mentioning before, there's a setup function which gets called once. Oh, sorry. Yep, I will. Thank you for that. So we have a setup function, which in this case I'm just using pin mode to set the digital outputs to be, actually be outputs. I don't think Andy mentioned that the digital pins on the Arduino can be both inputs and outputs, and you can either turn them on and off, and generally in the setup that's the best place to do it. And then in the loop here I'm just creating some random numbers and I'm setting some LED colours on and off. So let's just make sure I've got the right serial port selected and the right board. Yep, that's cool. And to upload that software, it's just as simple as hitting that button there. That gets uploaded to the board, and there you go. We should have some pretty lights go on and off. So that's pretty cool. For those who couldn't see out the back, there's the pretty lights again. Anyway, so that's sort of the quick overview of the Arduino platform. Now, it does have some issues. Debugging can be hard. You do have access to some serial statements, and you can sort of use that as debugging to the equivalent of sort of trace statements and that sort of thing. But if you run into memory issues, which you can quite easily do, that can actually be quite difficult to debug because your program will just stop working and you've got no idea what doing it. You have no way of stepping through code line by line. You don't have, you know, the typical... In a professional software environment, you can look at variables, you can set breakpoints and that sort of stuff. You can't do that with the Arduino, but it's not meant to be that sort of thing. It does have memory power and some speed limits. Like, there are things you can't do on an Arduino. You couldn't, you know... run video of it, for example. You'd need extra hardware to be able to do something like that. Yeah, I'm sure it's not easy. and you don't need to know any electronics, but you know, if you have a little bit of electronic knowledge, it definitely helps. So what I'm going to do is then take the next step further and connect the Arduino up to the web. Now, there's a few different connection methods. We can connect it directly to a computer. We can have some sort of wireless communication, such as Zigbee modems. There's a few other wireless ways. You can, you know, control it with infrared. There's Wi-Fi cards you can get, Bluetooth cards as well. I'm not going to cover that in the time I've got because I've only got 20 minutes. I'm also going to talk about Ethernet, and then I'm going to briefly mention the cloud. So, if you want to connect your Arduino up to another language, you obviously need to write that program and run it on your computer. Now, it supports a large number of languages. There's Flash, Flex, Processing, Python, Groovy, Java, C, C++, .NET. Someone's even written Perl, so if you're an old-soul Perl hacker, and I saw a Second Life plugin. You can actually control Arduinos from Second Life. Why you'd want to do that, I have absolutely no idea, but you know, if that's your thing, that's your thing. So let's just jump straight into that. Now, the first problem you're going to come across is that most high-level languages don't communicate USB. You know, Java, you can talk USB prop, and sort of low-level C, you can, but it's not easy and it's difficult. So the easiest way around that problem is to use some sort of proxy. And you'll have the proxy will run on your computer. And so you've got these layers of communication. And you basically need sort of three layers. You need some software running on your Arduino. That's the sort of the receiving end, and you'll send it commands to make it do something. There's the proxy, which will run on the computer itself, and that will take any commands that come from your program, send them off to the Arduino, and then anything that comes back from Arduino, it'll send back up to your program as well. So there is a standard Arduino library called Fermata, which does exactly that. So you can compile it, run it on your Arduino, and then you can send it simple commands, and it will do things. Or if it's you tell it to turn analog reporting on, it will send you back, you know, any of the sensors change, it will send you back what they've changed. So it's not quite as event-based as Andy's ICO, but it's sort of half and half, I'd say, is probably the best way of putting it. It does use a binary protocol, so it is very fast, but you don't actually need that speed all of the time. It's, you know, do you really need to turn a LED on 1,000 times a second? So it's actually based on the MIDI protocol, so which is used for musical instruments. I'm sure some people here have heard of that or know of that. And as a result, it's quite easy to extend. So you can create your own protocol, extend the protocol, and make control, say, the LCD screen on the Pebble player. You could quite easily extend it to do that. So here's just a diagram, that sort of thing. As I was saying, you've got your application code, which you write yourself. Now you need some sort of library that understands the Fermata protocol. The protocol is very simple. If your language doesn't actually support Fermata, you can probably go off and write it yourself. It's not too hard. You then have that will talk to the proxy, usually over TCP/IP. And then that will talk over the USB cable to Fermata running on the Arduino, and messages can go all the way back up and down the stack in there. So let's have a demo here. I'm just going to unplug this. Let's get out of that. So here's the Pebble board. And what I'm going to do with that is, just give me a second here. Examples. So under examples, there's Fermata, and then there's standard Fermata, like so. I'm not going to go through the code, but I'm just going to load that up to that board. Whoops, I did a mistake there, but it didn't actually tell me it was an error. I have to choose the serial port. Let's just try that again. Oh, yes, it is. Thank you. Have it. I always check my code before uploading it. Okay, that's good. So that compiles down to 8K. So, you know, it's not a very large program. You've often got you can do a lot more with it than that. So we've got that running on the Arduino. The next thing that we need to do is run a proxy. I've just got a little proxy here called SirProxy. So I'm just going to run that up like so. And I think that's all good. So so here I've got some Flex code. Now, I'm a Flex programmer, so this is my language of choice. As I said, this can work in any language. You don't have to use Flex. So you can see it's not very difficult to do so, and you can see that the functions are very, very similar to what you would code in the Arduino. So in this case, we're using digital outputs. So there's a set pin mode function, and there's a write digital pin to turn them on and off. So let's just run that and see if it works. So that gets compiled to a SWIFT, which then runs in HTML page. And there you go. So I'm just turning the potentiometer here, and you can see the numbers changing on the screen. And you can see that's pretty responsive. And that wasn't a huge amount of code. So, there's a couple lines of code to set it up, and then to actually display that, it's, you know, just a text field and a couple of buttons. Yeah. Yeah. It compiles to a SWIFT which runs in the Flash player in a browser. Okay. Flex is actually an open source. The compiler and SDK are open source. The IDE that I'm showing there is a commercial product. So all my code is going to be available. I'll put it up on my blog, and I assume we'll put it on the conference site as well. So, okay, so that's one simple thing. So I ran the wrong one there. It doesn't matter. Let's run another one. So that was the potentiometer. Let's run the relay one. So we've got the little header in the top here. I've just got a couple of buttons. If I just push that button down, you can see the light going on. So that means the relay's being controlled like that. So here we've got a web browser. that's communicating all the way down to here, and I can turn these relays on and off, and that can turn some, you know, say a motor on or open a door or, you know, do something, you know, something along those lines. Yeah, but you can code it in anything. You don't have to code in Flex, as I said. It's just what I've got here is Flex is talking through a library called AS3 Glue, which understands the Fermata protocol. That's talking to the proxy, and that's talking to the Adreno, and on the Adreno you've got Fermata running. So I'll just run another quick sample here. Again, you can see this is not much lines of code. Run it like so. So here we've got the light sensor. And if I... maybe not. This should be showing a graph of the light sensor in real time. But as I'm running out of time, I won't debug why that's not working. I probably connected up to the wrong pin. Yeah, I did too. How about that? Let's just try that again. So there you go. So I'll stick my finger over that. That goes straight down there. Down there. It's not very sensitive in this dim light, but that's good enough. And you can see that's good enough for real-time stuff. Okay. Right, enough of that. I might have to skip through the next couple of things. There's all that. That's all good. Okay, the issue with this is that obviously we've got a computer and it needs to be connected and you have to have some sort of permanent, well, persistent connection. Now, you can actually get past that persistent connection by customising the bootloader. I'm not going to go into that at the moment. But the thing is you need a computer and you need a proxy, and that proxy has to be running on the computer that the Adreno is connected to, and that's not always possible. So the next way of connecting things is via Ethernet. So... I've got an Ethernet shield here, right here. Right, so you don't need a computer. You can do a direct connection. Can someone please grab the Ethernet cable that's on my desk there and bring it to me? The blue one. Thank you. And you can make this act as both a web client or a web server. So you can have shields that communicate with each other. And you can have... shields that communicate with computers, and you can make huge networks of them. So in this case, I'm just going to plug it directly into the computer, but remember that you don't actually need to do this. No, it's not. Macs automatically detect whether you need a crossover cable or not and do it. If you're running on something else, you may need a crossover cable. Okay. So, what I'm going to do here... Oops, done something wrong there. Let me just minimise this. Let's go back to our Adreno. I've got a little web server here. So, if we go in here... So, this is a full-blown web server that will respond to connections. It sets up the MAC and IP address up the top, and then basically it looks at all the analog... inputs and sends that back as XML. And that's about 20 to 30 lines of code. That's all it is. Web servers are pretty dumb things when it comes down to it. So let's just plug that in here. Oops. I'm going to have to change the serial port. Upload that. So just while that's uploading. Whoops. I have to say I have more trouble with projectors than I do with Adrenos. Right. So, here I've got some similar code that is just setting off a timer. It's getting the XML data back from that Ethernet via a HTTP service call and then displaying a graph on it on the screen. So I'm just going to run this. I won't go through the code in detail. Like so. And this has a little light sensor on it. So again, if I do that. That's doing it about 10 times a second. It has no problem doing that at all. Yeah, you could probably do it a bit quicker at that. Yes, that's correct. All communications over the Ethernet. Now, this is one issue where you have with the using Ethernet, is that Ethernet consumes a bit more power than, say, a Zigbee modem. So you've got to have it. This is really only going to be useful where you're going to have somewhere that has power points or the equivalent. But depending on your uses, that's power over Ethernet, you could do that. Yeah, you could have power over Ethernet and the Ethernet connection itself. All right. Let's just skip through the. I've done all those. There's quite a few different Ethernet shields on there. I've showed you the web server code. Showed you that. Okay. Now the last thing I'm going to mention is a thing called Patch Hub. Patch Hub is a site. It's currently in beta. I have a whole lot of beta invites. If anyone would want one, just come and see me afterwards. It basically is a way of sharing sensor information worldwide. It's very simple and secure. It's got an API. It automatically graphs things for you, and it can graph things on a geolocation basis as well as graphing the physical sensors. This is the sort of... If you just go to patchhub.com, it's spelled P-A-C-H-U-B-E. It runs on Arduinos with Ethernet shields, so basically you download their program, put it into the Arduino, and just plug it in and just leave it alone. And what it does is it automatically uploads all the sensor data automatically to PatchHub, and then you request the values from PatchHub. And it communicates over HTTP, and it communicates via plain text, XML or JSON. It's REST-based, if that means anything to anyone. It's very simple to use. If you understand anything about basic web services, you'll be able to call this. And because it's REST-based, it's almost any language is supported. One of the features they've added recently is a trigger, so you can basically have PatchHub call a URL when a value changes, and that can be on anywhere in any server in the world. So you can make that email things off or save data to databases or whatever you want to do. Anyway, so just wrapping up, why should you actually do this? I think that this playing around with hardware like this, you get exposed to new ideas and new ways of solving problems, and it involves interaction with the real world. And coming from a software developer background, that's often not the case. Often you're dealing with highly abstract things in software. So it encourages creativity, and all of that, all put together, makes you a better programmer. But best of all, it's fun.